From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program. The most anticipated decision from the Supreme Court this year came out this past week, and it is a big one for religious freedom. We're talking about Christian cake baker Jack Phillips, who was finally vindicated by the Supreme Court in a 7-2 decision that ruled in his favor. We'll talk about what this decision does and doesn't mean, how it affects religious liberty here in Nebraska. A lot has been said by both sides about the case being narrow. We'll break it down, plus find out how the state of Nebraska, through a government agency, is teaming up with churches to help needy families in central Nebraska. But first, back to the Christian cake baker, Jack Phillips, who declined to bake a custom wedding cake for a same-sex wedding. This is the case everyone has been talking about all over the news. We've talked about this case a lot on the show leading up to the decision. And finally, we have the decision from the Supreme Court, and they ruled 7-2 in favor of the Christian baker, Jack Phillips. Now, the decision doesn't really address or get into some of the broader questions involving free speech claims or a First Amendment right to not bake this cake, because what the Supreme Court said was the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, who initially ruled against Jack, basically treated him so poorly and showed such hostility towards his faith that the Supreme Court said there was no possible way that they applied this non-discrimination law neutrally, and they were clearly biased against Jack because of his beliefs. So, in essence, the court has said here that government was wrong to punish Jack for living out his religious beliefs, specifically his religious beliefs about marriage. They said that the government has to respect Jack's religious beliefs, and that ultimately religious hostility has no place in a pluralistic society like ours. And that's the big takeaway from this. This was not a huge broad stroke ruling for free speech or religious freedom, but ultimately I've listened to everybody on both sides of this decision, read the full opinion from all the justices, and what it boils down to is that any ruling against the Christian baker in this case would have been so devastating for religious freedom that any win in his favor, no matter how narrow, is absolutely huge. And the consequences are far-reaching. And that's what we have here. A 7-2 decision is extremely strong. Some folks are saying it's narrow, and what they mean by being narrow is the case is limited in its scope. They're just dealing with the specific case of Jack Phillips and how his case was handled by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. And so many people are trying to minimize this decision and what it means, but it can't be said enough that the Supreme Court absolutely affirmed that tolerance in our society is a two-way street, and that this case, there was so much hostility and animosity towards religious beliefs about marriage that there was no possible way the government wasn't the one who was discriminating because of someone's personally deeply held religious beliefs, and that is unlawful, and the Supreme Court made that very clear. My friend, mentor, and former boss, national radio show host, and constitutional law professor Hugh Hewitt put it this way: a loss would have devastated religious liberty and free exercise arguments across all courts and far into the future. This is an enormous milestone victory for religious belief and the First Amendment. I think that is spot on, and so the argument that some are trying to make, mostly opponents, are saying that this is a narrow ruling and that it's very limited in its scope and it's not going to have impact into the future. This was an isolated case, and the Supreme Court actually affirmed things the other way as well, that the LGBT have equal rights and can't be denied service. And the biggest disagreement where this all hinges is on this idea that the Christian cake baker discriminated against the customer because of who they are, because they are in a homosexual relationship. And that is blatantly false. The cake baker in this case, and actually in all the cases like this, it has never once in any of these cases been about the person. It's about the message that's being asked to be promoted or created. And so the Christian artists or business owners in these situations are not denying someone service because of who they are as a person. They are declining to promote a certain message because it goes against their deeply held convictions and religious beliefs. For example, just like a lesbian graphic designer shouldn't be forced to create a flyer for a religious group's event opposing same-sex marriage, Jack Phillips and those like him shouldn't be forced to create custom wedding cakes or other art celebrating same-sex marriage. Again, tolerance is a two-way street, and that is what the Supreme Court emphasized heavily. People have to be respectful of opposing views and beliefs, and you can't force people to promote something that they don't agree with. So again, it's not about the person, it's about the message that's trying to be conveyed. And this is a freedom that all Americans have, to choose not to express messages or celebrate events that violate your beliefs. So how should we respond to this and think about this case? Well, here is Alliance Defending Freedom attorney and Senior Vice President for the ADF U.S. Legal Division, Kristen Wagner, who actually argued the case before the Supreme Court, explaining and reacting to the ruling.
Well, the court said that there's no place for government to express religious hostility towards people in the marketplace. No one should be forced to violate their convictions in the marketplace simply because the government disagrees with their viewpoint on marriage. That kind of hostility has no place, and it's odious under the Constitution.
So a lot of people are saying it was a 7-2 victory for Jack. So that's a really broad win. But other people are saying that it really only talked about hostility toward Jack and a very narrow win for Jack. What would you say? How would you explain kind of the disparity there?
Well, I'd first say I would take a 7-2 win any day.
Sure.
That is tremendous. It's a great victory for Jack and for religious freedom. Jack serves all people. He just doesn't promote all messages. And the court's decision affirmed that that's how it viewed Jack as well. What I would say about the media saying, well, this might be a narrow win, is that there's a constitutional principle that the court followed today, which is that it only needs to decide the issue necessary to resolve the case. And the hostility towards Jack in this case was so egregious, so obvious, and so overt that the court didn't need to resolve any other issues to reverse and to say Jack should not be forced to violate his convictions and that he did not break Colorado law in this instance. So it is a tremendous win for all of us to be able to live consistent with our faith.
So with that understanding, you know, we have another number of other clients. You have Bernell Stutzman, floor artist in Washington State, the Larsons, who are filmmakers in Minnesota, or the Tennis family, say, who are farmers who just want to participate in a farmer's market in East Lansing, Michigan, were told no, they couldn't, just because they, in essence, announced their beliefs in marriage on their Facebook page. How will that win affect their cases that are going on right now?
Well, all of those clients have claims based on the free exercise of religion, which was the basis of the court's ruling today. And I think all of them have faced tremendous hostility from the government, from government officials who really are going after these individuals because of their religious beliefs on marriage. And they're playing favorites based on the government's view of marriage and what it should be. So this ruling is tremendously helpful for them. And it also leaves open the claim and the right claim that their free speech rights should supersede any public accommodation law that says if you are serving everyone, which all of our clients do, then you shouldn't be forced to have to express messages that violate your convictions. So that issue before the court is preserved, and it's being litigated right now in the cases that you mentioned.
You know, that's a message that I don't think gets out often enough, is that these clients serve all customers who come to them. I think what everybody now is wondering on the Facebook page, because they see Jack's story all the time, have you talked with Jack? How is he doing today?
Jack is doing great. You were on the call when we first called him, and it was so loud in his cake shop. So many people there to celebrate with him. It's been 6 long, hard years. If you think about what it's meant to him, just to have this hanging over his head, to know that he lost 6 out of his 10 employees, that he's lost nearly half of his income in this process, and more importantly, he lost the work that he loved, the ability to use his artistic talents to celebrate and participate in marriage, which he believes is a sacred covenant. So today is a great day for Jack, and he's rejoicing in it and so thankful that the court saw fit to hear his case and rule in his favor.
The bottom line here is that religious hostility has no place in our society, and certainly not from the government or government actors or government agencies discriminating against Americans because of their religious beliefs. And tolerance in a pluralistic society must be a two-way street. And I also have to add that I've gotten to know Jack Phillips, the cake baker at the center of this case, personally. It's easy to forget sometimes, I think, that at the center of this huge case, asking lofty questions about religious freedom and discrimination and the First Amendment and the Constitution, as a real person. And I've gotten to spend time with him on numerous occasions and consider him a friend. Nebraska Family Alliance actually brought Jack to Nebraska to testify in front of our Legislative Judiciary Committee 2 years ago. He came down and shared his story with lawmakers as they were considering a law very similar to the one that he was sued under that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And that law was defeated in part because of his efforts with Nebraska Family Alliance to oppose that law and explain the consequences to lawmakers. But he is much more than just an excellent baker. He is the kindest, most humble, gentle man you could ever meet. And he has been vilified and made out to be this terrible person who hates gay people and treats people unfairly and turns people away. And that's been happening to him for the last 6 years. He's even faced death threats and all of that just for trying to live according to his beliefs, beliefs that are shared widely by millions of Americans. And he was punished by the government and dragged through the mud by the media simply for living out his Christian faith in a very humble way. If you would have walked into his shop today or at any point in the last 5 years, you would have no idea that this was the guy at the center of this case that would ultimately go all the way to the Supreme Court. That's just who he is. Very, very kind and gentle. And it's just so encouraging to see justice for Jack, truly, after all these years. We've talked a lot about what this case means and its implications, but first and foremost, finally, there was some justice for Jack Phillips, and really that is going to extend far and wide into the future in the United States. The other point I wanted to touch on that is so critical from this ruling, beyond the justice for Jack that we talked about, is that the decision from the Supreme Court, again, 7-2 decision, absolutely crushed, destroyed one of the left's biggest talking points that they always love to go to and to put out there, and the media loves to use it as well, that Christians who support traditional marriage and those with deeply held religious beliefs are intolerant, hateful bigots who discriminate unjustly, and they are the outcasts of society. Well, according to the Supreme Court, that is completely the opposite. They rejected that and affirmed that those who hold religious or philosophical beliefs about marriage, so not even just religious beliefs, they included philosophical beliefs about marriage, that they are decent and honorable people of goodwill whose views and beliefs are protected. And this now actually makes twice in the last 2 years that the Supreme Court has ruled 7-2 that the government cannot discriminate because of someone's religious beliefs. And the organization who handled this case, Alliance Defending Freedom, they're good friends and allies of Nebraska Family Alliance and the Family Research Council, Focus on the Family, all these groups are that promote religious freedom are labeled as hate groups by the Southern Poverty Law Center next to legitimate hate groups like the Ku Klux Klan and terrorist organizations. And so, you know, Alliance Defending Freedom continues to have incredible success at the Supreme Court, and with a 7-2 ruling in favor of their client really slapping the hand of government for being so hostile towards religion, they're going to have to label the Supreme Court a hate group at this point, if that's what they truly believe, because they continue to uphold that tolerance is a two-way street and that there is no place for this outrageous level of discrimination and hostility towards religious beliefs. And the Supreme Court rightfully made that very clear. Tolerance and respect for differences of opinion are absolutely essential. They enable us to peacefully coexist with each other. And the Supreme Court has made that very clear through this case, that the government must respect people's beliefs about marriage, and that countless people of goodwill believe that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and no one should be bullied or banished or kicked out of the marketplace for peacefully living out that belief. And that goes across the board, no matter where you're at on this issue. The court's decision establishes that the millions of people who hold that belief on marriage are not second-class citizens, but they too belong in our community. And regardless of your beliefs, you should support this decision, I believe, because the First Amendment guarantees that all Americans are free to live out their beliefs, even if those beliefs are disfavored by the government. And that is part of what makes the United States so exceptional, that we have the freedom to disagree, that you can disagree with the government and not be punished for it, and that even unpopular speech and unpopular opinions are protected. Thankfully, Jack Phillips himself got to address this issue and respond to the criticism and really explain himself and how he is reacting to this decision when he appeared earlier in the week on the Today Show with his attorney, Kristen Wagner, reacting to the Supreme Court's decision.
This has been a long road for you. Started back in 2012. Yesterday, you actually heard the words. You heard that verdict. Just tell me what your reaction was to that.
I was thrilled. The United States Supreme Court has decided that we can try and enter the wedding business again and realize that I serve everybody. And it's just that I don't create cakes for every occasion that people ask me to create.
Kristen, let me ask you, because this was a ruling overwhelmingly in Jack's favor, a 7-2 ruling, but many legal scholars have said it's narrow in scope. For somebody who is just watching this morning, does this mean that any baker or any company could just refuse services to a gay couple on religious grounds now?
Absolutely not. The court made very clear, as we made clear in our argument before the court, that Jack loves and serves anyone who walks into his store, but he doesn't express all messages. And that was critical for the court's decision. Justice Kennedy made clear that religious hostility by the government has no place in a pluralistic society. And that was critical to his ruling.
Jack, some people may look and they might think, wow, you know, I think this guy is discriminating. 50 years ago, it was interracial marriage. You couldn't go in and some people wouldn't give you goods or services. And now this guy's doing that. What's your reaction to that?
I don't discriminate against anybody. I serve everybody that comes in my shop. So I'll say again, I don't create cakes for every message that people ask me to create.
So if a gay couple came in and said that we'd like some cupcakes for our
Absolutely.
Wedding.
I told these two men when they came to my store, I'll sell you cookies, brownies, birthday cakes. I'll make you custom cakes. I'll make anything.
It's just
for
the
you.
Art of the cake.
This cake is a specific cake. A wedding cake is a wedding is an inherently religious event, and the cake is definitely a specific message that
We have to remember that in Jack's case, as the court said, he's an expert baker. So when you go into a cake shop, he sketches, he sculpts, he hand paints these custom cakes that are one-of-a-kind cakes. And that's what the court dealt with yesterday. It also said that people of goodwill need the space necessary to disagree on this issue. And it's distinguished cases involving interracial marriage in the past with the decent and honorable beliefs of Jack and millions of Americans like him that believe marriage is between a man and a woman of all different faiths, Jewish, Muslim.
There are other cakes I know you don't create on religious grounds, such as?
I don't create cakes for Halloween. I wouldn't create a cake that would be anti-American or disparaging against anybody for any reason. Even cakes that would disparage people who identify as LGBT. Just cakes have a message, and this is one that I can't create.
There you have it from Jack Phillips. And much has been said today and over the past week about cakes and religious freedom and discrimination. But as I said at the beginning of the show, this was the most anticipated decision from the Supreme Court this year. And it's such an important decision for all Americans to understand what the ruling says and doesn't say. This does not mean in any way that people can just be denied service for any reason or on religious grounds. It simply means that people of faith and all Americans can't be forced by the government to promote messages they don't agree with, and that government hostility towards people of faith has no place in our society. To quote Justice Kennedy, who authored the majority opinion for the court, he writes, "The religious and philosophical objections to gay marriage are protected views and in some instances protected forms of expression. As this court observed in Obergefell, the First Amendment ensures that religious organizations and persons are given proper protection as they seek to teach the principles that are so fulfilling and so central to their lives and faiths." Justice Kennedy goes on to write in very strong words that to describe a man's faith as one of the most despicable pieces of rhetoric that people can use is to disparage his religion in at least two distinct ways, by describing it as despicable and also by characterizing it as merely rhetorical, something insubstantial and even insincere. And in a concurring opinion authored by Justice Gorsuch, he writes that the Constitution protects not just popular religious exercises from the condemnation of civil authorities, it protects them all. He writes further that it is in protecting unpopular religious beliefs that we prove this country's commitment to serving as a refuge for religious freedom. Religious freedom is our most cherished freedom, and at Nebraska Family Alliance, we are very encouraged by the decision from the Supreme Court in this case and remain committed to defending the freedom of every person to live and work consistent with their beliefs without fear of government punishment. This fosters true tolerance and diversity. You can learn more about this case and how you can help protect religious freedom here in Nebraska by visiting NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. I wanted to close the show today with a really neat and interesting story that was reported on by the Omaha World Herald this past week, talking about how a state agency is teaming up with churches to help needy families in central Nebraska. A network of churches in central Nebraska is teaming up with the State Department of Health and Human Services to lend a hand to needy families. The collaboration comes through a software system called Care Portal, developed by the Global Orphan Project of Kansas City, Missouri. Nebraska officials said this collaboration helps meet concrete needs that make it easier for families to be reunited or to stay together. Families seeking help do not have to meet any religious requirements, but all requests have to involve children. As of May, this collaboration between the state and churches has helped out 128 children, and churches have fulfilled 63% of the requests that have been made. The requests being fulfilled so far come from 23 churches in Kearney, Hastings, and North Platte, covering a range of denominations, including Lutheran, Methodist, Evangelical Free, Catholic, and Baptist. And this story just makes me smile. I think this is a great example of churches and the body of Christ stepping up to serve needy families, and also what good government looks like, not controlling or dictating religion or religious beliefs, but partnering with churches, posting specific needs that people in the community have that need to be met, and allowing the church to step up and help meet those needs. But that's all the time we have for this week. If you would like more information on how to join the movement to advance family, freedom, and life in Nebraska, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance. Hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.